A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Mary set out and traveled to the hill country in haste to a town of Judah, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the infant leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit, cried out in a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And how does this happen to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For at the moment the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the infant in my womb leapt for joy. Blessed are you who believed that what was spoken to you by the Lord would be fulfilled." And Mary said, "My soul proclaims the greatness of God. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. For God has looked upon this lowly servant. From this day all generations will call me blessed. The Almighty has done great things for me, and holy is God's name. He has mercy on those who fear him in every generation. He has shown the strength of his arm and has scattered the proud in their conceit. He has cast down the mighty from their thrones and has lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has come to the help of his servant Israel, for he has remembered his promise of mercy, the promise he made to our fathers, to Abraham and his children forever." Mary remained with her about 3 months and then returned to her home. The Gospel of the Lord. I'm not sure I really understand today's feast, the Feast of the Assumption of Mary. As I once heard a homilist say, it is challenging to understand the physics of it. Maybe that's my problem. But I do love the little story that same homilist told about the feast. A teacher put this question before a class of very young students. "Who can tell me what the Feast of the Assumption is all about?" she asked. One little boy responded promptly, "It means that Mary was so holy that we just assume she went to heaven." That little fellow's response, it seems to me, is a good lens through which to approach today's feast. It certainly resonates deeply with the scriptures we hear today, especially with the gospel story of the visitation. We all know well the circumstances of this meeting of Mary and Elizabeth and the mutual exquisite hospitality evidenced in their visit. Can't you just see these two Jewish women greeting each other? Each is pregnant. One, a not yet properly married young woman. The other, a thought to be barren older woman. I see them hugging, crying, and laughing at the same time, saying something like, "Can you believe this? Can you believe what is happening to us?" And we know they do indeed believe. We are witnessing a story of faith and of hope, a story, like all of scriptures, with inexhaustible layers of meaning. We naturally hear and read these accounts from scripture within the context of our own times. Maybe that's why Mary's song in response to Elizabeth's awesome blessing echoed in me with a new power this time. First, Elizabeth's words to Mary, "Blessed are you who believed that what was spoken to you by the Lord would be fulfilled." Then the oh-so-familiar Magnificat comes from the depths of Mary's soul. The first part of it shines with her luminous humility. "I'm proclaiming the greatness of God," she sings. "The God so great working within me that all generations will call me blessed." Not the slightest suggestion of boasting, rather a simple, clear enunciation of the truth inspiring her very being. Genuine humility. Living in a culture, as we do, that just about shouts out the values of being number one, of self-sufficiency and blindness to need for anyone else, or for a sense of community, or even a sense of the common good, replaces humility as the favored mark of strength and importance. Even this section of Mary's song can make us squirm a bit in our culture. Even greater discomfort for us arises out of the latter part of the song. At a time of a presidential election here in the United States, with wars, violence, giant refugee movements around the globe, dozens of serious domestic issues here at home, the message of the Magnificat can be unsettling, to say the least. Strikingly, Mary uses the past tense from God has scattered the proud in their conceit to the last, God has remembered the promise of mercy, the promise made to Abraham and his children forever. Mary is already reciting the accomplishments of her son as if they were history. Her faith is in the promise, in things not seen. How much that depth of faith is called for today. It is the spirit of Mary's vision that can shape our own vision. The vision alone is an enormous challenge to us. Greater still, much more difficult still, is the challenge to our very way of life. How do we in flesh put into action this radical picture of the reign of God here and now on our planet Earth? The Feast of the Assumption, through the lens of the Visitation, surely celebrates Mary's extraordinary holiness, as that little boy asserted in his answer to the teacher. Just some of the virtues she manifests here, like hospitality in its most expansive form, authentic humility, simple and other-centered, living hope, so much deeper than mere optimism, and unshakable faith, solid ground of her whole life. Perhaps Mary's assumption, viewed through the lens of visitation, and her song of magnification, if you will, can nudge us to some new patterns of behavior, individually and as a people. She sings of a new way, the way of her son. It's a way of risk-taking, and a way of committing ourselves anew to our world and to each other. She sings of difficult challenges, and she sings of a promise fulfilled, a song of freedom and a song of transformation.